Okay, let us learn Daf Lamed Amud Beis now, and in Maseches Tainus we are holding at Tanan Hasam. Tanan Hasam is at the very end of the second line of the page in Daf Lamed Amud Beis. So Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim teaches us, Makom Shenagu Lasos Melacha B'Tisha B'Av Osin. In a place where the minhag is that people do work on Tisha B'Av, that they do Melacha on Tisha B'Av, so we can do Melacha on Tisha B'Av. Makom Shenagu Shalol Lasos Ein Osin. In a place where the minhag is that people do not do work on Tisha B'Av, so we don't do work on Tisha B'Av. V'chol Makom Tamid Echam B'Teilim. But wherever you are, Tamid Chacham should not do work on Tishbav. From Shimon Gamliel Lomer, the Olam Yasa Kol Adam Atzmo Ketamid Chacham. With regard to this halacha, everybody is allowed to pretend to be a Tamid Chacham and not do work on Tishbav. Tanya Namiyachim, we have a brisa that says just like this. From Shimon Gamliel Lomer, the Olam Yasa Adam Atzmo Ketamid Chacham Kadesha Yisane. A person should always make himself like a Tamid Chacham so that he will be able to experience a fast day properly. That only, meaning even the fast days that we learned about earlier in the Masechta, that only Talmidei Chacham would fast in order for it to rain. So anybody's allowed to act like a Talmid Chacham and fast on those fast days. Tanya Idach, we have another brayse from Shmuel Eliyahu Lomer, Kol Ochel V'Shosu B'Tishbav, Kilu Ochel V'Shosu B'Yom HaKippurim. If someone eats and drinks on Tishbav, it's like eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, Rabbi, which is Nisr Daraisa. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kol Osem Melacha B'Tishbav, Eino Rosem Bracha Liolam. Rabbi Kiva says, if someone does work on Tishbav, he's never going to see any blessing from that work. V'Chamam Kol Osem Melacha Someone who does work on Tisha B'Av and doesn't mourn over the loss of Yerushalayim is not going to be able to see the great joy of Yerushalayim la'asad davo. Shenemar, Pasuk says, Simchus Yerushalayim ve'gilu ba kol ohaveha sisu ita misos kol ha'masablim aleha. Mikan Amru, we see from this Pasuk, kol ha'masabal Yerushalayim zoche ve'roa b'simchasa. Anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim is going to merit to see the joy of Yerushalayim. But someone who doesn't mourn over Yerushalayim is not going to see the great joy of Yerushalayim. Tanya Nami Yachin of Rebbeisa says just like this, anyone who eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'Av, about him the Pasuk says, I mean, it doesn't even mean antish, but it means even at the Sudam of Sekas, that their sins are on their bones. So first of all, important concept is called Masabal Yerushalayim Zochav Rabbi Simchasa. That's an important concept. Anyone who mourns over Yerushalayim properly will one day see the joy of Yerushalayim. And the main point over here, I guess we would say, is that doing work on Tisha B'Av depends on Minhag, but you're never going to see bracha from such work. Good. The Mishnah went on to say, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev B'Kfiyas Amita, the Rabbi Yehuda holds that on Tisha B'Av, we even have to turn our beds upside down, just like an Avel would have to do. V'lo hodu lo chacham, but Chacham did not agree to Rabbi Yehuda about that issue. Tanya, so Amr lo, the Braisa says, Amr lo Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvarecha, according to you, that we have to turn the beds upside down. Ubarus suminikos, what about pregnant women and nursing women who can't sleep on the ground? Matahe alei, and what are you going to do with them? Amr lam, he says, no, I didn't mean that pregnant women are going to have to sleep on the floor, but why can't a guy turn his bed upside down and sleep on the floor? What's the big deal? I'm talking about people who are able to. Tanya Nami Yachim of Brisa says just like this, Moda Rabbi Yehuda Lechamim B'Sheino Yachal. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you're not able to sleep on the ground, that you don't have to sleep on the ground. And the Chamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda that if you are able to sleep on the ground, that you should sleep on the ground. Well, wait a second. If everybody agrees that people who are able to should, and everybody agrees that people who are not able to, don't have to, well then my benayu, what are they arguing about? Ike benayu sharmitos. The machlokas is, what about the other beds in the house that aren't being used? Do you have to turn those upside down as well? Normally, we turn over it by a regular avel, we turn over all of the beds in the entire house. So what about in this case? Do we turn over the beds that are not being used? So Amar Rava Hilchsa Katana Didan, we passing like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda entirely, not like the Chachamim in the Braisa, and don't even agree with regard to people who are able to sleep on the ground. We hold that they should sleep. Nobody should sleep on the ground. And the Chacham are not moded to Rabbi Yehuda at all. That's what we hold. So main point, three opinions about turning the bed upside down. Rabbi Yehuda holds that anybody who's able to, plus any unused beds, should be turned upside down. The Chacham of the Braisa say people who are able to should sleep on the ground, But unused beds don't need to be turned upside down. And the Chum of Mishnah say that no beds, there is no Kfiyas Amita at all, no beds need to be turned upside down, nobody needs to sleep on the ground on Tisha B'Av. Now this idea of Kfiyas Amita, Tosfos writes in many places in Shas, doesn't apply anymore, even for an Avel. We don't turn beds upside down anymore, because as Tosfos points out, it wouldn't make any sense. Meaning, it used to be that when they would turn their beds upside down, so they would be able to sleep, it would just be less comfortable sleeping on their beds. Nowadays, what are we going to do? If we turn our mattress upside down, we just flip our mattress over, so it's just as comfortable. If we flip the whole bed frame over, then we can't use it at all, then it's totally worthless. So it doesn't really apply nowadays. This whole halacha doesn't apply nowadays, even though there are those that suggest that somehow the covering of the mirrors that we do in a house of mourning relates to this, but that's a longer discussion than we have time for. So now, the Mishnah said, Amrim Shungum Li'alo, Hay Yom Tov Nisol Al Kachamisha Asr Ba'av U'Chiyom HaKippurim. There were no such great days and joyous days for the Jewish people like the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. So says Mar Bishlam Yom Kippurim, I understand why Yom Kippur is such a happy day. Mishum Dispay Slicha Mechila, it's a day that we're forgiven by God. Yom Sheninu Baluchos Achronos, it's the day that the Jewish people got the second set of luchos, so that's great, that's very joyous. El Chamish Asr Ba'av Mahi, what's so special about Tu Ba'av? What's so great about Tu Ba'av? So now, the Amoraim are going to go through various great things that happened to Klal Yisrael on this day that made it a day of Simcha, and everyone is going to say what they heard from their Rebbe about what makes this such a great day. So we're going to have six different opinions, what's so great about Chamish Asr Ba'av. So number one, Amr Vidom Shmuel, Yom Shehutru Shvatim Lavo, it's the day that the Shvatim allowed marriage between one Shevet and the other Shevet. Because originally, any woman who was able to get a Yerusha from her family, meaning if a woman didn't have any brothers, let's say, they wouldn't allow her to marry someone from another Shevet, because they didn't want that land that she would inherit to go into another Shevet's possession. And it's going to go to her husband if she gets married. So they didn't allow it to happen. On Chamisha Asr Ba'av, the Chum allowed marriage from one Shevet to the other Shevet, and they therefore made that a Yantiv, because it solved a lot of the Shidduch crisis. Imagine if you were only able to marry someone within your Shevet, within 1/12 of Klal Yisrael. My Darish, how did the Chum Darsh and the Psukim to be Matir this Isser? Because the Pasuk says about the heads of the tribe of Yosef that claimed to Moshe Rabbeinu that if the Bnei Slavchad, who inherit their father, would marry people from another Shevet, then the Yerusha will leave their Shevet. So Moshe responded, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem L'Bnei Slavchad, that this is what Hashem commanded with regard to the Bnei Slavchad, that they should only be they should only get married to people from their Shevet. So we dash them from the word Zeh HaDavar, Davar Zeh, this Isser, to marry another Shevet, Lo Yehinoeg Ela Bidar Zeh, should only apply in this generation. So even though originally we read that pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Bnei Yosef that the Bnei Slavchad are only going to be able to marry within the Shevet, then we said, Ayvei, this means that they're not allowed to marry outside the tribe. But later Chacham came along and said, no, that was only in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. In later generations, they are allowed to marry outside the tribe. And that's why it was a great celebration once they realized that drasha, and now they were allowed to marry outside the tribe. So that's one reason that Tu Ba'av is special, that they allowed a tribal intermarriage. Second reason that it's special, Amrav Yosef Amrav Nachman, Yom Shuhut Ar Shevet Binyamin, Lava Bakahal. It's the day that they allowed Shevet Binyamin to remarry into the rest of the Jewish people. Because after the story of Pilegesh Begiva, which I'm sure you remember from the end of Sefer Shoftim, where there were bad guys from Shevet Binyamin that killed a certain Pilegesh, so there was a civil war, and everyone made a gezeira that no one's going to marry anyone from Shevet Binyamin. Shnemar v'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah lemor, ish mimenu lo yitin bito l'vinyamin l'isha. That everyone decided no one's going to marry their daughters off to people from Shevet Binyamin. So my darish, how did the later rabbis change it and allow people to marry Shevet Binyamin? Amarav mimenu. They took the word mimenu in the pasuk. They said ish mimenu, a man from us, is not allowed to give his daughter to Shevet Binyamin. But velomi banenu, but our children are going to be allowed to give their daughters over to Shevet Binyamin. So it's only a one generation thing, but later generations are allowed So the second great thing that happened on Tu B'Av is also marriage related, that we now allowed our daughters to marry Shevet Binyamin. Third great thing, Rabbi Bar Bechanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shekolu Bo Meisei Midbar. It's the day people stopped dying in the Midbar because of the sin of the Meraglim. For 40 years, people were dying because of the sin of the Meraglim. On Tu B'Av, they stopped. Da'amar Mar, Ad Shelo Kolu Meisei Midbar Lo Haya Dibur Emoshe. So long as people were still dying because of the Meraglim, the Shechina didn't talk to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shnemar Vayikah Asher Tamu Kol Anshei Milcham Olamos Vayidaber Hashem Elai. Elai Haya Dibur. Moshe Rabbeinu says it's only after everyone was finished dying that God spoke to me again. So the great joy of no more dying from the sin of the Meraglim, which you might say, what's the great joy in that? Everyone was dead already. No, the great joy in that is that now the Shechina came back and spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu again. The fourth great thing that happened, Ula Amar Yom Shebita Loshea Ben Eila Porsidayos Shahoshev Yeravim Ben Nevat Aladrachim Shloyal Yisrael Leragel Va'amar Le'ezah Sheyirtzu Yalim. Yeravim Ben Nevat did a terrible thing. He stopped people from being Ola Leragel, and he made guards on the road to Yerushalayim to make sure that no one would go to Yerushalayim to be Ola Leragel, because he was afraid that if people would be Ola Leragel, they'd get to see that Rechavam, his adversary, is the king in Yerushalayim and is the one that's allowed to sit in the Azara like a king is allowed to do, and then people are going to start following Rechavam. So one of the things Yeravim ben Nevat did is he said no one's allowed to go to Yerushalayim anymore to be Ola Regel. So the day that those guards were removed and people were again allowed to be Ola Regel, that was Tu B'Av, and that's the fourth great special thing that happened on Tu B'Av. So even though there are six, we'll stop here because it's the end of the Amud and we'll make a main point. The first four great things that happened on Tu B'Av were we allowed girls from one shevet to girls who had no brothers to marry people from another shevet. We allowed people to give their daughters to marry men from Shevet Binyamin. Number three, the people stopped dying in the Midbar, so the Shechina spoke to Moshe again. And number four, Yeravam ben Nevat's guards were taken away. As Hashem, next time in the last year, we'll go through numbers 5 and 6.